Raja Krishnamurthy is the congressman from Schaumburg. He's on the House committee that you're watching on the impeachment hearing.
Intelligence Committee.
Congressman, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, John?
Good. So what's happening with you today? What's your schedule?
It's just a tad bit lighter than the last couple of weeks. More kind of local stuff, and then I'll do a little bit of radio and TV, and hopefully call it an evening.
So no hearings today, right?
No hearings. That's right.
Are you mowing the lawn, by the way, Congressman?
You know, it's funny. The neighbors are mowing the lawn, so I apologize about that. I guess it's one of those days that's kind of in between fall and, winter, I guess.
The congressman mows his own lawn, we're sure.
You are, so you're back in the district. Just talk to me a little bit about the hearings and what you learned or what you didn't learn. What's your summary of what's happened this past week?
I think that I have a couple takeaways. One is that I thought the witnesses were very compelling. There were 12 witnesses, and for anybody who watched them, I would imagine that they thought that these people are credible. They're for the most part nonpartisan. They're career public servants, and it all makes them very compelling. The second kind of takeaway is, I think they pointed out a lot of very, very disturbing evidence. Gordon Sondland on, I forgot what day of the week it was, he came and, he basically said, you may be wondering if there was a quid pro quo. And he said, yes, there's a quid pro quo. Everybody knew it. Everyone was in it. Everyone was in on it. And others, helped to really fill in a lot of holes. But overall, I think what's, undisputed is that at the least, even, partisans on the other side say what happened was inappropriate, improper. I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about kind of members of Congress on the other side of the aisle. Because, you look at that transcript of the July 25th call, and it's just not the way that foreign policy should be conducted.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're saying, if I may, is that generally that's not the way foreign policy is conducted, and it's maybe not a good idea. It might not even be ethical, but I'm not hearing many Republican voices saying that's an impeachable offense.
I don't hear too many people publicly saying that. I think that privately, there's a range of opinion on their side. What I believe is that there's at least two or three things that are really very, very bad and I think illegal about what was done. One is soliciting kind of interference in our elections from a foreign power, getting another foreign power involved in our elections through investigating a domestic political rival. And then two, leveraging the power of the office of the president, either by conditioning a White House meeting on this investigation or military aid. And I think that that's, very serious because at the end of the day, the framers or the founders of our country did not want foreign powers involved in our domestic affairs. They were very, very concerned about that from the get-go. And then secondly, I think one of the biggest fears of any individual citizen or private citizen is to have their government use the full tools at their disposal to investigate a private citizen for illicit purposes or for political purposes or something like that. And I think both of those are at issue here.
As you say all of those things, I'm playing back in my head what the Republican retort to all of that is. I know well what they are. I think you do, too. For instance, solicitation, really, if the president asks for a favor and the favor is to try and root out corruption, the president is within his right, and maybe that's the right thing to do. I mean, that's sort of the verbal ping pong game I've been listening to here.
That is a completely bogus argument in this case. The corruption fighter, the person who was fighting corruption in Ukraine on behalf of the American government, was the ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch. I think on the very day that she was recalled, she was having a a reception on behalf of the State Department to celebrate anti-corruption fighters within Ukraine. Anyway, she was recalled so that Rudy Giuliani could basically take control of foreign policy in Ukraine and kind of take it off track, where his associates, people like Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, who were indicted in New York, Dmitry Firtash, this guy who's indicted in Chicago, and other associates, as well as his own client, President Trump, could then try to put pressure on the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden and others. So if this was about corruption, there are lots of ways to deal with it. This particular mode was nothing about fighting corruption or trying to get good government in Ukraine.
Well, one last thing, and then we'll stop litigating what has already happened and what the Judiciary Committee ultimately will have to make more critical decisions about. But there's three things that they keep saying over and over again. One is the president said there was no quid pro quo. Their president said he didn't feel pressured, and the aid was delivered. Nobody didn't get the military assistance. So there's no there there, they say. Generally, how would you respond to that?
Okay. With regard to the aid being resumed, it was resumed on September 11th, and I elicited during my testimony that it was resumed 2 days after Congress initiated the investigation into what has now led to these impeachment proceedings. They were caught, and they desperately wanted to, basically release the aid to make it look like nothing was wrong. The second point is, on the very day when the president says there's no quid pro quo, that very day is when the congressional investigation into whether a quid pro quo existed began, and it was publicly launched, and the whistleblower complaint had been released. And so, again, that's a little disingenuous of my colleagues to point to that conversation. Finally, I think Mick Mulvaney said it best, and I think he was most candid when he came out in the White House briefing room, and he said, you know what? Yeah, the military aid was conditioned on the investigation into the DNC server. Get over it. That's how we're going to roll here. And so I think that's, those are really tough arguments that they're making right now.
Congressman, who's testimony was most compelling to you? If you thought there was one person you'd hang your hat on this, who was it?
I thought Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. He was a first-hand participant. He's not doing this based on hearsay or a second or third-hand account. He was on the call. Yeah. And the reason why he was compelling is that he was actually part of the entirety of discussions all the way from the beginning of July through the phone call as to what the American government, I should say, what Donald Trump and Ambassador Sondland wanted from the Ukrainians and what the Ukrainians wanted from the White House and how those became linked. And that came out in full force on July 10th in the White House in a meeting where Lieutenant Colonel Vindman was present. And then he's on the phone call. And I think he's thinking there's no way, no how, that this is actually the policy of the government to have a quid pro quo. And then he just hears it on the phone call. So then he's like, I got to go to the lawyers. So he runs to the lawyers at the NSC, and then they promptly put the transcript of that phone call on a server, classified server, to prevent others from getting access to it. So given everything, the fact that, John, if you were there and you saw him, you would know this is not a political guy. He doesn't strike somebody as some, kind of rogue actor or some partisan dude. His career is in jeopardy now, right? I mean, he's testified against his president. He's a lieutenant colonel, Purple Heart awardee. Who knows what the future holds for his military career, but he came forward to do the right thing.
I wanted to ask you one thing about him. When he was testifying, you got a chance, of course, to speak to him, and this is part of your exchange.
Your father never gave up working hard to build his very own American dream, did he?
He did not.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, your father achieved the American dream, and so did you and your family. From one immigrant American to another immigrant American, I want to say to you that you and your family represent the very best of America. I assume that you are as proud to be an American as I am, correct?
Yes, sir.
Sir?
You struggled with your composure there, didn't you, Congressman?
I do now, just listening to it, yes.
What was going on there?
Well, here's this guy who, you know, he fled the Soviet Union with his twin brother and his father. His mother had died before coming over here. And he basically decided, you know what, this country has given me freedom, and so I'm going to devote my entire life to this country. That's what he did. And then he was subjected to a lot of attacks recently when he decided to come forward with the truth. And it just killed me that that happened. That should not happen to anybody, let alone a veteran who, you know, was awarded a Purple Heart for being wounded in battle. So it was very it was moving. And then, you know, I obviously saw my own parents at this, you know, in his story, and it all came together.
Rajah Krishnamurthy is on a phone line, Congressman, who used to be in Naperville, but he's moved to Schaumburg since I stopped saying that. Congressman, I have to pause. I don't know if you can stick around. I wanted to ask you about a couple of other issues that Congress is considering, and let's get to that after this. Rajah Krishnamurthy has just a minute left with us, the congressman who is on the House Intelligence Committee. Steve Bertrand, you had a question too, right?
Congressman, I know you can't say exactly what, but what happens next? Now, I think impeachment hearings are before judiciary, so will they have witnesses? Will they get a report from intelligence, or how does that work?
The general next step is, you know, we have to formally conclude our inquiry. We prepare a report and then send it to the House Judiciary Committee, and then they do with it as they will.
Does that include more witnesses?
I don't know what types of witnesses, but I think they may have a couple few. But my general understanding is I don't think it's going to be, you know, as extensive a set of witnesses as we did, just because we're kind of more in the fact gathering stage. And they're more, okay, now where do we go from here with the facts or the evidence?
They'd be the one to draw up the actual charges, right?
Yeah. I think they would. I don't want to get ahead of them, but my assumption right now is that they'll review the facts, decide on whether to drop articles of impeachment. And, you know, in these situations, I think that the House Resolution 660 specifically provides for the president to have his attorneys part of that process to be able to participate as well.
I know you got to go, Congressman. Do you want to say anything about the video that's gone viral with you and Elise Stefanik, the Republican from New York? She came up, said something to you, you smiled, she turned on her heel, walked away, and your face fell like, oh, that was terrible. What happened, Congressman?
I think that's more a problem with my facial expressions than anything else. She may have come over and asked how much longer is there in the break between proceedings. I was like, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm one of the last questioners, so I was like hurriedly preparing for my questioning, and so I think I was just more I was kind of more, my head was more in my questions than you know, talking to other people at that moment.
The reporting is you two are friends, so it wasn't anything that she said that you didn't like. There was no cross words, or that wasn't a cross expression on your part.
Yeah. No, it was just a very strange expression on my face.
Yeah, you got to work on that, Rajah. You're on TV a lot now.
I woke up and, you know, we had like, I don't know, 2 million views or something. And finally my first son's like, wow. That was all.
That was Dad, said. Good job.
Finally have some respect.
Stay well, Congressman. We appreciate your time
today.
Rajah Krishnamurthy. Kids go, Dad, you got 2 million views on Facebook, man. He goes, you know, I'm on the House Intelligence Committee, right? I'm a rising star in the United States Congress. Yeah, but you got 2 million views, Dad.